His birth. We have a Christmas. We celebrate a season. And it's a joyous occasion. And thanks be unto God for it. And so I hope I've made it clear in week one and week two that I am not trying to steal your holiday. I'm not anti-celebrating the birth of Christ. I'm thankful that He was prophesied. I'm thankful that He came. And it's because of His life, His birth, and His death that I'm saved and on my way to glory. Amen. And the human emotion of wanting to celebrate that event is very understandable. And I thank God for that, that people would like to take the time and show some in some special way thanks to God the Father for the birth of Christ our Lord. Now, having said all that, this last week of this series, I want to bring you a message entitled The Defiling of Christmas. What started and what should be a holy day to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has become and is now a pagan, unchristian, unbiblical, unscriptural celebration by all the world, saved and lost. Isn't it strange that around the world they celebrate this day for people who are not even nominally Christian? It's amazing. It's supposed to be about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the world would an unbelieving pagan celebrate that day? Hopefully we'll have time to talk about that some this morning. And I heard or read, I can't remember which one it was now, but I've got it in my head anyway, a little joke thing, a cartoon thing the other day. I think I saw it in the papers where it was at. That to me typified the 21st century idea of Christmas. And the little cartoon was, a daddy is standing and he's looking at his little daughter. She's maybe 7, 8 years old. And he said, "Sweetheart, have you mailed your list of things you want for Christmas to Santa Claus yet?" And she said, "No, I don't have a list this year. I only want one thing." He said, "Whoa." He said, "In a day of materialism, that's remarkable." He said, "Sweetheart, what is the one thing you want?" She said, "A credit card." That about sums up Christmas for 2007. Amen. Amen. It's all about getting, and it's all about fretting over having to give. Now, so if you'll open your Bible this morning, we will lace this thing with Scripture so that if you get mad, you'll have to get mad at God. Amen. Now, if you'd open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, use both hands this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, let's start in Jeremiah chapter 10 in verse 2. Everybody got it? I want you to read with me this morning. You're not going to put all the blame for this on me. Jeremiah chapter 10. The Word of God said, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver, and with gold they fasten it with nails, and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, the them, of course, being the heathen, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us clarity of thought, boldness of speech. May the Holy Spirit bless what is said. May it speak to the heart of the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while Christmas should have been, if it's celebrated at all, and of course, in the Bible, there is nothing in the Bible that indicates that anybody ever celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, there are over 30 years of church history. Not one time in any way, shape, form, or fashion is there ever a mention of a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2, you have the narrative that describes the birth of Christ. But from that day forward, you never hear mentioned again anything about His birth. That's not what was significant. That's not why He came. That's a side issue. He simply had to be born to get here to do what He wanted to do, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Now, for several centuries, there was little or no attention paid to the birth of Jesus Christ. There was no Christmas. There was no Santa Claus. There was no Yule log. There was no Yuletide season. There was no mistletoe. None of that existed until around 440 A.D., 400 plus years after the birth of Jesus Christ, the Roman Catholic Church, in trying to evangelize the heathen lands, and to evangelize there didn't mean get them converted to Christ. It meant put them at the point of a sword and get them to accept wholesale Christianity, and primarily the Roman Catholic Church. It wasn't a personal conversion by the work of the Holy Spirit. It was mass conversion of nations or countries at the point of a sword. It was a military conquest. And of course, the heathen who professed Christianity were still unconverted and still as heathen as they ever were. Now, in order to make His kingdom survive and have as much peace and harmony as possible between all the religious factions, while professing to be a Christian, the ruler had the church people find a day where they could put all their holidays together and mingle all of their customs together so that there wouldn't be any fighting and there wouldn't be any preference given to any particular religion. And the way to do that was to take what was already established as holidays and religious festivals and incorporate Christianity into them. To mingle darkness and light. To mingle the converted and the non-converted. To mingle biblical and extra-biblical or non-biblical events so that everybody felt included. No one was excluded. And so to do that, they picked several customs, several traditions, and several occasions that would meet the need in Christian circles and fulfill their desire for special occasions, holidays, and make them feel included. And the way to do that was you took existing things and used them and gave them Christian identities. What a tragedy. It was and is a deliberate mingling of light and darkness. It is a deliberate mingling of the heathen and the non-heathen. There is nothing about your celebration of Jesus Christ that is scriptural or right or good. Your Christmas tree, your Baal bush is an abomination, a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. Everybody's gasping and sucking for air. Everybody's face turns pale and nobody can breathe. Okay, exhale. Santa Claus is just as wicked and abominable a contrivance as mankind could possibly have dreamed up. We gave to Santa Claus two of the three attributes that belong only to God. What an abominable mess. I'm going to give you some history. First, I want to read you some of these things out of this article. This is just amazing to me. This is an article out of last week's religion page in the newspaper. It's written by a couple of people who have written books on Christmas. They are professors at Yale and some other places. And they all know, without any exception, every person that writes in this article knows that Christmas is a joke. They know that the time of the year is wrong. They know all that. And they go right on and do it anyway. From 1994 to 2005, Gallup polls show consistently that 90% of adults say they celebrate Christmas, including 84% of non-Christians. Got nothing to do with Christ. It's a holiday that anybody can celebrate regardless of what you believe, because Christ doesn't have anything to do with it. It never did. There's another section down here that said the whole culture didn't stop for Christmas. Like he's talking about the way our world is controlled by Christmas. Days off, schools closed, churches have candlelight services, and all this tree and the Santa and the trappings and all that. He said the whole culture did not stop for Christmas, said Bruce Forbes, a religious studies professor at Morningside College in Sioux City. Government went on as usual. Business went on as usual. School went on as usual. That is, nothing stopped. Say, why? Because the church didn't celebrate Christmas. It was a pagan holiday. In researching his book, Christmas, A Candid History, Forbes discovered that major American denominations, Presbyterians, Baptists, Quakers, Methodists, Congregationals, either ignored the holiday or actively discouraged it under the late 19th century. Why? That rejection was rooted in the lack of biblical sanction for December the 25th as the date of Jesus Christ's birthday, as well as suspicion toward traditions developed after the earliest days of Christianity in colonial New England. This disapproval extended to actually making the holiday illegal and the celebration punishable by a fine. Your forefathers, those colonialists and those people who settled this country, did not celebrate Christmas. They made it illegal. It was punishable by fine. The churches closed their doors because everybody knew and everybody understood it was a pagan holiday. So, well, then why do we celebrate today? Because we're pagan. How hard is that to figure out? Bible-believing Christians reject all the pagan trappings of the Christmas season. We don't do Santa Claus. We don't do Christmas trees. If we do anything at all, it should be focused around and centered upon Jesus Christ. But we've turned it into a family day. He says down here, Protestant churches have learned to accommodate Christmas. But the, this is a tidy tidbit. I don't know if this guy understands what he said or not, but he really said a mouthful here. Whether deliberately or not, he really hit the nail on the head. Protestant churches have learned to accommodate Christmas, but the change came from the pews rather from the pulpit. Us preachers have been telling you it was wrong the whole time. Y'all just decided to go ahead and do it. You didn't give a tinker's flip what us preachers said. You didn't care what the Bible said. You don't care what Christ thinks. It's my holiday, and bless God, I'm going to have it one way or another. My kids are looking for it, and I ain't going to disappoint them. And so Americans, professing Christians and otherwise, have just made up their mind, this is going to be our holiday, we're going to celebrate, we're going to have a time, we're going to have a blowout, we're going to have our parties, we're going to do what we want to do, and to blazes with the Bible and truth. That's why America, and the rest of the world, by the way, celebrates the Christmas season. Got nothing to do with their Bible, got nothing to do with their Christianity, got nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. It's just got to do with we've decided this is a good time to have fun, and we like the spirit of it, and it makes a great family holiday, and blah, 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 and so we're going to do it. And that's exactly what happens. We do it. Christmas benefited from a 19th century domestication of religion. Now, that's a whole subject we don't have time to get into. But there was a philosophical change in the belief structure about the Bible and the Word of God back there in the 19th century. German Enlightenment and rationalism and some other things got in there, and the whole perspective about religion got altered. And today, in religion, family, Mormons, family, some other, see, is more important than any biblical truth. What a crying shame. Thy word is truth. Amen? What makes a man free? The truth shall set you free. Thy word is truth. But we just ignore that. Christmas became acceptable as a family-centered holiday. Rested said, once it lost its overtly religious significance. Now, he's telling you the honest truth. He's telling you what happened back there in the middle of the 19th century. Christmas lost its religious significance and became a family-oriented holiday rather than a Christian holiday. That's exactly what happened, and that's exactly where we are today. There's not a person alive can stand and defend Christmas on biblical merit. It just ain't there. It's all pagan. And all the customs of Christmas are pagan. And you are warned in Jeremiah 10 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 not to mix paganism and your Christianity. Learn not the way of the heathen. So, your celebration of Christmas, which includes all those pagan activities, is anti-scriptural. It puts you in direct disobedience to the plain commandment of God Almighty. So that if you practice Christmas with all of the paganism embedded in it, you sin against God. I hear some of y'all saying, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. But when we stand at the great white throne of judgment, you're not going to say, well, our preacher didn't tell us. Now, you free, white, and 21, you live in America, you can go out and do anything you want to. Amen? And if you invite me to your house and your Christmas tree's sitting there, I'll sit down and eat your food and ignore your Christmas tree. I don't care. You can have Santa Claus come in and bring presents to your kid. That's between you and God Almighty. But you're not going to stand before God and say you didn't know, you never heard. Amen? Now, I don't care how you celebrate it. I love you and thank God for you anyhow. But I'm going to stand here and tell you the truth. Amen? So that if you want to do right, you can. At the same time, aspects of the holidays, such as decorated trees and gift-giving, became status symbols for an aspirant middle class. When Christmas began its march toward dominance among holidays, it was because of a change in the culture, not theology. Amen. That guy just told you the gospel truth. That's not Bible, but that's as true as anything you ever read. Amen. It's common knowledge that Christmas and its customs have nothing to do with the Bible, said Clyde Kilborn, President of the United Church of God, which has branches all over the world. The theological question is quite simple. Is it acceptable to God for humans to choose to worship Him by adopting paganism's most popular celebrations and calling them Christian? Now, that's the question. He said, it's a simple question. It is a simple question. Is it right for human beings to choose to celebrate pagan holidays and call them Christians? Is it right with God? Now, if you can't answer that in the affirmative, you need to give up your pagan practices. You're either Christian or you're not. Amen? Now, oh, man, you're putting us on a tight rope here this morning, preacher. Well, I've had you there before. You've always managed to worm your way off. Now, listen to the conclusion of this article. This is just the most profound thing you will ever read. If this is not the exact sentiment, the exact reason, the exact philosophy of the world regarding what they want to do. This guy states it as clearly and as simply and as directly as anybody I've ever read. And I've read a lot. Here's what this guy said. Ross is an elder at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Vienna, near Parkersburg. Well-versed in the history of Christianity, he's a professor of it, well-versed in the history of Christianity, Christmas, and Presbyterianism. Ross knows his church historically objected to Christmas. On the other hand, Ross also is a father of two. And while he made up his mind to reject Christmas as a teenager, his children's early years included gifts, decorations, and a tree. He said, I have a love-hate relationship with Christmas, he said. It seems obvious to me that there is no nothing scriptural about it. But that's a hard sell for children. That guy just said, I ran up the white flag. I know it's wrong. I know it's unscriptural. I know I shouldn't do it. But my kids like it, so I gave in. That guy just admitted he's got no character, no integrity, no core beliefs. If you put enough pressure on him, he'll just throw in the towel and do what everybody wants to do. Because it's easier. That guy just stated, without any deviation whatsoever, the practical position of almost everybody you ever met in your life. I read that article, I about thought, Lord, did you have this written just for me on Sunday morning? There are four things I wanted to point out this morning, very briefly, and we'll let you go home. Four things that are fundamentally wrong with the Christmas season. Let me say this before I give you those four. And I tried to illustrate that. I tried to make it plain in the preceding 2 weeks. If you want to have a Christmas holiday and celebrate the birth of your Savior, I really don't have a problem with that. And I'll be quite honest, I don't think God does. I really don't. If it was all about Christ, and it omitted all the secular things and all the heathen stuff. If you left off all the garbage, if you wanted to have a Christmas holiday and even a family time where you collectively gave praise and worship to God for His Son, and pass out small gifts, give fruitcakes and cookies, and this preacher would never say a word. I really don't think there would be a problem with that. I don't think God would have a problem with that. His Son would have the preeminent place, and we would not have to take in all the pagan trappings that go with it. But God does have a problem with these four things. Let me give them to you very briefly. If you could get these four things out of your Christmas, you could have a great Christmas, and you'd have one that God could bless. Number one, the day. Everybody knows Christmas is not on December the 25th. Yeah. Now, the winter solstice comes December the 25th, the longest or the shortest day of the year. And that's the year that all the heathen religions had their biggest celebration. The Circus Maximus at Rome was held on December the 25th. It was fun and games and parties and drinking and sexual immorality. I mean, it was just like Mardi Gras. It was a big pagan feast. And since everybody already knew about it and everybody already used it as a holiday, everybody already took off from work and all that, they said, we'll just use that to celebrate Christmas because it coincides with what everybody else is doing. And so Christmas on December the 25th just slipped right into the calendar almost unnoticed, and nobody objected to it because they were taking the week off anyhow. Saturnina, one of the biggest pagan holidays, the goddess of love and all that stuff, was celebrated on December the 25th. Anybody can take a Bible, and I'd be glad to give you, I think I printed it up a couple years ago and passed it out to everybody, and everybody probably just threw it in the trash can, but I've got a list from the Bible of the courses that the priest took and the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. You can prove mathematically that Jesus Christ could not possibly have been born later than the middle of October. Somewhere between September 15th and October 15th. Not November, not December. Right? But it was convenient because that was already an established day for a pagan holiday. Now, I asked you earlier, why does the whole world celebrate Christmas? Because they were celebrating it for 2,500 years before Jesus Christ was born on the same day. Nothing changed for them. The second thing, that tree. Now, at our house and in Christian circles, they call a Christmas tree a Baal bush. It's a Baal bush. Baal was one of the false gods. And they cut down the tree and stood it upright and decorated it like a totem pole or a little god. They made a god out of it to worship Baal. Now, I've heard preachers get up and say, well, Jeremiah chapter 10 is not talking about a Christmas tree. And I always think, you know, here's a guy that's educated beyond his intelligence. Any fool can read that and you understand that what they're doing there is they're making a god out of a tree. And they took a tree trunk and they probably cut all the branches off and it wouldn't look like your modern day Christmas tree. However, it does exactly the same thing. They cut it down, they nail it upright, they fix it, they decorate it, And so whether it has or has not branches is really immaterial. The purpose is exactly the same. You know what a totem pole does? It symbolizes something or somebody. You know what they say a Christmas tree does? They say, oh, well, it just symbolizes. Well, that's what the pagans did. Turn a dime's worth of difference. See? If you can't extrapolate from a totem pole to a Christmas tree, you probably need professional help from the psychiatric world. There is no difference. See? And so, we have this pagan tree that we put up, this Baal bush that we decorate and put up in our houses. And people say, I'm telling you right now, please, we don't worship no tree. We worship Jesus. You probably need to look up worship and find out how it's defined in a dictionary. To stand in awe of, to give reverence or adoration or praise to. You give any praise to your Christmas tree? Ain't this year's the prettiest one ever? Oh, I've got the most beautiful tree this year. That's praise. That's adoration. You know what that is? That's worship, whether you like it or not. I'll tell you something else. Your tree gets more time, more attention, and more money than Jesus Christ does. There ain't nothing Christian about your pagan Baal bush. Amen. Now, you may have it anyway, and you may enjoy it anyway, but you're not going to enjoy it and me not tell you that it's wrong. Because it is. Number three, not only we got the wrong day, we got that stupid tree, we got Santa Claus. Now, what that is a fill-in for Jesus Christ. That's a substitute person. That's somebody who is supernatural and miraculous, who steals all the thunder from the Savior. The preeminent person in Christmas isn't Christ. And the fact that you sent out 25 cards that said, Jesus is the reason for the season, won't nullify the admiration and time Santa Claus gets. Why don't you tell them little youngins of yours, Jesus is coming tonight and going to bring you all them toys? Why don't you make them love Jesus more than they love Santa Claus? Where'd Santa Claus come from anyhow? Give me a book, chapter, and verse for Santa Claus. Boy, you want something really bad. You know, if you go to Russia, Santa Claus ain't even a man, it's a woman. That's the truth. Santa Claus in Russia is female. The Russians are not nearly as dumb as I thought they were. If I got to look at somebody in a red suit, a pretty girl would be a lot easier than a fellow with a big red white beard. Amen. Probably don't shave her legs, though. They attribute to Santa Claus the attributes of the divine. You ever read them songs they write about him? You better be good. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows if you're bad or good. If you're bad, he punishes. If you're good, he rewards. That's salvation based on works. Amen. Amen? And you know what mamas and daddies all across the country will do? They say, now, you better be good. Santa Claus comes in a week. If you're not behaving, I'm going to tell Santa Claus you've been bad. Hello? Anybody in here ever lie to your kid? It's a wonder kids trust us about anything. You lied to them about that tooth fairy. Didn't you? You lied to them about that tooth fairy. And you lied to them about that Easter bunny. And now you're lying to them about Santa Claus. One of these days you're going to figure it out. You're just a chronic pathological liar. You can't be trusted with nothing. If it'll get you off the hook, you lie about anything. Ain't that so? That's so. Number four. There's the inordinate giving. If Christmas is indeed supposed to be a time of caring and demonstrations of love and worship of the Christ child, we take the lowly Nazarene. Here is a babe born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, a person of no means and of no substance, born to parents of no means and no substance. And then we spend $2,000 on Christmas. I went in a department store the other day. They got pre-made, imitation, pre-wired, certified Christmas trees there. Them things was $300. $300! If you go down here and buy one, you get one about this hit, they're about $30-$40. Or you can always go out to somebody else's property and steal one. Amen? And take it home and string all them lights and stuff on it and put all them goodies under it. And then you sit down and lie to them kids. Now, y'all need to go up to your room, go be real quiet and go to sleep. Because Santa Claus knows if you're awake and he won't come till you go to sleep. And we're going to leave these cookies and this milk. At my house, we used to leave Coca-Cola. Because you could buy one Coke for a nickel. And half a gallon of milk was 28 cents, so we left Coke. Because we was poor white trash. But my mama would leave two or three Streetman chocolate drop cookies and a Coke. And we'd get up in the morning, the saucer would be empty and the bottle would be empty too. Santa Claus had come. My mama and daddy lied to me like, I ain't trust them suckers since. Just... here we are celebrating a holy day and just lying like a dog the whole time. You know. The inordinate giving. We don't give because we love and care and we're concerned anymore. We give because we're obligated. Well, if I don't give to so-and-so, they'll get their feelings hurt. Well, I spent $15 on that one. I've got to spend $15 on this one and $15. Well, maybe, you know, I may have $15. I may not have $60. Well, if you buy that one something, you got to get this one something. They'll get their feelings hurt. Okay, ain't none of you suckers going to get nothing. Now they all got their feelings hurt. What a rat race we got into. We spend weeks Christmas shopping and spending money. You know the suicide rate is higher at Christmas than any other holiday, any other time during the year? Because people who don't have the money to do Christmas blow their brains out. Or rob banks. Armed robbery is up during the holiday season. So why? Because people felt pressured, they felt compelled to give. That's not Christmas, that's not the spirit of Christmas. God so loved that He gave. There's a motive for giving. Amen? I think it'd be wonderful if everybody just swapped their cookies and stuff back and forth. I'll give you a little bag of cookies and you give me a little bag of cookies. And here's a homemade fruit cake, you know, or a pound cake, or here's your pumpkin pie. That'd make a nice Christmas present, wouldn't it? And I wouldn't have to give it to everybody. I'd just give it to the people I liked. And then people say, well, I'll tell you what, I didn't get one, so you don't like me. He gave one to Geraldine and Henry, but he didn't give one to the Steels. What's up here? I thought me and him was buddies. Oh, hallelujah. All that gift giving, I mean, it just generates all kind of animosity and stuff. Christmas is going to be over in a day or two. New Year's will come and go. We'll stay drunk as a nation till then, you know. Then we'll start to sober up and then bills start to come in. And some folks will be until next year at this time paying off the bills they ran up for Christmas this year. Well, boy, preacher, you ain't got me there because we got a Christmas club accountant. It's just turned into an abomination. We've taken all the pagan things, the mistletoe and the holly and all that stuff and all the pagan traditions and all the pagan custom, and we stand up and we want to call it Christian. Make sure you keep Christ in Christmas. What does that mean? Keeping Christ in Christmas means praying over the food before you eat Christmas dinner. Thanking God you had money to go down to the liquor store and get a fifth. It's like that fella in one of them sword scrapbooks, there's a thing in there, and this guy is standing in the door of a saloon. Another guy has just come out of his office. He's walking down the street, and he's got a 25-pound bag of flour on his shoulder. He's headed home on Christmas Eve, and he got his Christmas bonus. It was a bag of flour. And this, of course, this guy's tickled to death with it. And the drunk is standing in the door of the saloon about halfway. He said, "Look at that fool." He said, "I bet he ain't got a drop of liquor in the whole house." We got it all messed up, boys and girls. It really is supposed to be about Jesus Christ. And we are not supposed to take all the heathen, pagan trappings and tie it to Christmas and make it a pagan holiday. If you want to celebrate it, keep the giving down to reasonable things and give because you want to and give because you love and remember Christ and have a dinner and pray and thank God Almighty that the Christ child came and paid the sin debt of the world. And that He died and He rose again. And because of Him, I'm saved, saved, saved. And don't put that stupid tree in your living room. Don't lie to your kids about it. And don't have no Santa Claus. Have a real, honest-to-God, Christian holiday. All right, I'm through. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I know we are so far down the road, we are not going to get everything straightened out. We can't go back to square one because we're almost at the end of the game. But there are some things we could do to tell the world that we're not pagan. We're not going to worship our Savior in a pagan way. Give us some grace, give us some wisdom, give us some understanding. Help us to make this holiday truly about Jesus Christ. We'll thank You for that in His name. Amen.